This episode is also brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. Sunday services on campus and online at 9 and 11 a.m. Learn more at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, if they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Tyler Clausen, and this is what's happening in your community. Restoration work began this week to rebuild a more than 120-year-old one-room schoolhouse near Canby, which was devastated by the February 2021 ice storm a year and a half ago. The Mark Prairie Schoolhouse has stood at its location on South Mark Road since the turn of the 20th century, and though it ceased to be a school shortly after the end of World War II, it has continued to provide a setting for family reunions, wedding receptions, Christmas and other parties, picnics, church groups, 4-H clubs, and other meetings. But all that changed on the fateful President's Day 2021, when the historic ice storm toppled two oak trees into the schoolhouse, causing massive damage. We have some of the worst damage we've seen anywhere in the county so far, Mark Prairie Historic Society president and family descendant Judy Oz said at the time. Since then, the society has secured the services of Emmerich Construction, a local contractor experienced in historical renovation projects, to rebuild the schoolhouse roof and repair the other damage. They have also continued to work with local historian Peggy Sigler, a volunteer and board advisor who was spearheading a restoration project that was already planned for the historic schoolhouse before the disaster struck. The board received word last week that the project's structural permits had been approved, and the project officially kicked off on Monday, October 10th. Raise a toast in celebration, Oz wrote in an email to board members, which was shared with Now Hear This, Canby. Structural permit received, approved, paid, and an official stamped copy in hand. The renovation was also approved by the Clackamas County Historical Review Board. The interior will be refinished with tongue-and-groove planks milled by Pacific Timber Products in Molalla to mirror the original ceiling. The project will also include ADA upgrades in the bathrooms and other areas of the building, including electrical and utility work. While insurance is covering some of the damage, Oz said the cost of restoration is estimated to be $150,000 in excess of their coverage. The society has received some grant funding to complete the project and is continuing to seek grants and community support. For more information about the Mark Prairie Historical Society and how you can help, visit markprairiehistoricalsociety.org. State Senator Bill Kennemer, a longtime lawmaker representing the Canby area, was recognized by the state's leading small business association recently during a ceremony at Gwen's Coffee House. Kennemer was selected by the National Federation of Independent Businesses Oregon Leadership Council to receive a Guardians of Small Business Award statue in recognition of his 100% voting record and what he called his above and beyond commitment to the state's Main Street entrepreneurs. While a number of state legislators have earned the right to be called a guardian of small business, Senator Bill Kenemer deserves special recognition, said Anthony Smith, Oregon State Director for the NFIB. Whenever there is a call to stand up for small business, Senator Bill Kenemer is there, fighting for Oregon's small businesses, whether shepherding bipartisan legislation to provide unemployment insurance tax relief or opposing controversial new labor costs on Oregon's agricultural employers, Bill Kenemer has been there for our small businesses. Senators and representatives were scored on 7 votes taken during the 2021-2022 sessions of legislature. Those voting for the NFIB position more than 80% of the time received a Guardian Award, a nationally recognized accomplishment reserved for legislators and congressional representatives who vote consistently with small business on the key issues identified by small business owners. Kenemer's rating on the votes was 100% as graded by the NFIB. With 99.4% of our Oregon businesses being small businesses and with over 54% of Oregon's employees working for those small businesses, standing up for our small businesses is both the critical and the right thing to do, Kenemer said. Governor Kate Brown will miss President Joe Biden's upcoming visit to Oregon as she will be traveling to South Korea and Japan to promote tourism and foreign investment, her office announced Wednesday. Brown will spend a total of 12 days visiting Japan and South Korea alongside representatives from the agricultural, tourism, higher education, apparel, technology, and manufacturing industries. While many states are seeking to expand trade opportunities as Asia begins to fully reopen, we know that Oregon's businesses, products, and tourism opportunities are second to none, Brown said in a statement. Oregon has strong relationships in South Korea and Japan that have been built on decades of trade and the shared values of economic growth, environmental stewardship, and the desire for a better tomorrow. Brown said her team will leave Friday and expect to return on October 26th. It's the governor's first trade mission to Asia since 2019. Due to the trip, Brown will miss President Biden's trip to Portland, which is planned for Friday afternoon. It will be Biden's second visit to the Rose City as president this year. Asian trade and tourism play huge roles in Oregon's economy, with Japan being one of the largest foreign investors in the state. South Korea is also a key location for many Oregon exports, especially agriculturally. Overall, the two nations represent 11% of Oregon's global export market. During the trip, Governor Brown will also be hosting business meetings, sitting down with government leaders, and hosting women's leadership forums. She will also be visiting Oregon's sister state in Japan, the Toyama Prefecture. An event more than 2.5 years in the making is finally set to bring the Roaring Twenties back to the heart of downtown Cambie next month. A Roaring Good Time, a Great Gatsby-themed event planned for 6:30 p.m. Saturday, November 5th at Gwen's Coffee House, was originally set for March 2020 before it became one of the first local events to be postponed on the onset of COVID-19 pandemic. The event will feature swanky music, local vendors, wine and food, and raffle prizes, as well as an optional costume contest. So be sure not to leave the pearls, boas, beaded flapper dresses, pinstripe suits, suspenders, and fedoras at home. It's exciting to finally make this come to fruition, said organizer Donna Bryant. I promised several people in the community I would follow through, and now it's happening. The Cambie Center is thrilled and supporting me with their volunteers. I'm hoping for a huge turnout. Admission is $15 plus a donation of one non-perishable food item. All proceeds benefit the Canby Center Food Bank, and as Brian admits, the need for such a charitable undertaking has only increased in the past 2.5 years. There's a lot of families out there that need extra assistance putting food on the table since the costs have risen so much, Brian said. It's my goal to help lessen that burden. As a citizen, it's quite an undertaking, but there are more than a few friends and family helping out. Canby High seniors and their families are invited to an informative event later this month intended to help prepare for college and life after high school. Dubbed College Goal Oregon, the event invites seniors to the Canby High School library from 6 to 8:30 p.m. to learn about financial aid, including assistance filling out FAFSA or Oregon Student Aid application forms. Food and prizes will be provided. The event is being organized by the College and Career Center at Canby High School. For more information about the event or services or assistance offered by the College and Career Center, contact Sue Winner or Lori Bailey at Canby High School.
Wow, Frankie, that sounds great. I didn't know that you could play the kalimba.
Yeah, well, I've been practicing a lot. I'm really hoping to make it onto the 434th season of America's Got Talent.
Well, good luck with that, man.
Yeah, hey, I was actually just about to check my email and see if they responded.
Uh-huh. Yeah?
Oh.
What?
Well, they hated it.
No way.
Yeah, they said it was really bad, but like not in like a funny way, so they're not interested.
Dang. What song did you end up playing?
The same one I was playing earlier. Listen, here's what I uploaded.
Oh. What? I mean, I kind of like it. It's like a dark remix meets Star Wars sort of sound.
No. That's not what I recorded at all. How did this happen?
Dude, it's like I always tell you. That choppiness you're hearing is because your internet provider speeds are on the slower side. Everyone focuses on downloading, but upload speeds are just as critical for students, remote workers, would-be reality talent show stars, really anybody who uses the internet to share their passion with the world.
Is there like a show called America's Got Bad Internet that I could audition for?
Maybe. Or you could just switch to DirectLink. They've got the most reliable upload speeds to pass any audition test. For uploads at the speed of learning, visit www.directlink.coop/internet or give them a call at 503-266-8111.
All right, joining us in the Canby conversation today, once again, we're so delighted to be welcoming back Tate Koenig. He is a local resident, a Canby High School grad, and a local entrepreneur and inventor. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Tate, you have been on Shark Tank, the show twice now, recently, just a few weeks ago. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The experience has been pretty cool, I take it.
Yeah. It's been pretty amazing experience. Intense, to say the least.
Yes. So we had you on last time for the first appearance on Shark Tank to discuss one of your first big products, a cheese chopper, which was really cool. Tell the sort of like plastic guillotine, very interesting design that you came up with to kind of deal with something that I had never even seen until moving out here, obviously with the Tillamook Cheese Factory, but the big bricks of cheese that you can get in the store.
The cheese chopper, it's like I said, it's a plastic container. It takes the entire brick of cheese. There's a little wheel that moves it in and out, and then different handles that slice or grate as much as you want. And then put the lid on, keeps it fresh so it doesn't go bad.
Yeah, yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah, the cheese chopper.
Yeah, that was something that kind of got your, obviously got you on the show, kind of got you your taste of doing this. You obviously went to school for business, and this was something that you had been thinking about and planning out for a while to do for your career, is kind of do products like this, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was the idea. That was the intention. The cheese chopper was my first. I've had plenty of products I kind of worked on or developed and whatnot. Cheese chopper was the first one we took all the way to market and actually sold it. And so now off and running to the races and and off with the pizza pack.
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations. So I didn't realize that had happened with the cheese chopper.
Yeah, we're still selling it.
Okay.
We're still selling cheese choppers. It's still alive and going and cruising along there on Amazon or website and everywhere else. So.
Yeah. Okay. So we definitely want to talk about the pizza pack and the new appearance on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Let's kind of crosswalk that journey. So what did you kind of learn from that first experience, that first kind of major product that you kind of went back to the drawing board and like, okay, I'm going to take what worked, kind of work on what didn't work, and then come up with this new thing?
Right. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if I tried to tell you everything I learned at Cheese Chopper, right. we'd be here for the next week. Yeah, but no, definitely. after going on the Shark Tank with the Cheese Chopper, you know, for me, I always thought it was such a big product and huge thing because I'm from the Pacific Northwest, right? Everyone's got a block of cheese in their fridge.
Right.
You know, I found it is prevalent across the U.S., but we're definitely in the cheese capital, right?
Yes.
Like, I mean, well, we're like no I said, Wisconsin, I grew up but in we're Kentucky, pretty close.
And you can get them now, you know, Tillamook, the bricks, but it's still kind of a weird thing. Like, that's a lot of cheese.
And like I got buddies that live in New York, right? And he goes, man, in the little tiny shop that I buy my groceries in, they can never carry a full block of cheese.
Yeah,
and
enough.
So, you know, like some of the big cities, it's not as prevalent either.
Interesting.
And so, afterwards came off after Shark Tank the first time, didn't get a deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, was definitely pretty, I guess not discouraged, but, you know, it was a pretty good shot, right? Like get there and lose.
Yeah.
And so, went back to the drawing board and said, hey, listen, I'm not going to let it stop me.
They didn't laugh you off the stage.
They were great. Honestly, they were pretty friendly.
So there was some kind of things about the market, right? I hear from you that you were needing to reassess. But I feel like one thing you really nailed was kind of your presentation, your humor, right? Your use of social media, your video.
A lot of cheesy jokes.
Yeah.
A lot of cheesy jokes.
There's one of them.
Right.
That was something that worked well for just you and in marketing the types of products you do.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, and upside, so like I said, so when we then went back and we're like, all right, what we need another product. I need another product to work on, another idea. We're going to keep going with the cheese chopper.
What's broader, right, than the brick of cheese?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
What's a bigger market? Because the sharks got up there and every one of them said they'd never bought a block of cheese before. Mm. Didn't know people did. Thought they were only in stores for restaurants.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm like, oh man, I thought everyone had blocks of cheese because around here you do.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we figured what market's bigger than cheese, and that's pizza, right? Yeah. I mean, everybody loves pizza.
Right.
98% of Americans eat pizza of some sort, you know? And so so we figured out what better than, you know, we thought cheese was everyone. Pizza's even bigger.
So the cheese chopper was very personal. Like, I have this problem, you know, and that's how invention often happens, right?
Right.
So you're telling me with the pizza pack, it really was something where you started with the market. You started with the intended market and, like, what would work for that?
Right. Well, and I have an idea board at home with all my different post-it notes of all my different ideas and the things and contraptions and whatever else that you think of and then look up later. And so I'd actually had the pizza pack on there for a while.
Okay.
But it was the pizza accordion was the name I had come up with because it kind of gets bigger and smaller as expanded collapses accordion. So in my head, that's what I wrote down on the sticky note. And that name is so terrible.
Yes.
It's horrible that I just backburnered it for sure, right? And so
take something everybody loves, pizza, and then combine it with something everyone hates, accordion music.
Right, exactly, right? And so I backburned it. And so after the last Shark Tank, when I was like, okay, I need another product to do, like, what are we going to do? So I went back and I was like, wait a second.
You wanted to get back on Shark Tank.
Well, I wanted to get.
Was that your goal?
Yeah. Okay. I thought that I had made this goal when I was at the beginning of college when Shark Tank first came out and whatnot. That I wanted to get on the show.
Okay.
After I got on the show and then didn't get a deal, I realized my goal was to get a deal.
Was your first one, I'm trying to remember, before or after the start of the pandemic? I think it was after.
Right during the start of it. So because that was the other crazy thing. When I did the Shark Tank the first time, I had a 9-day quarantine locked in a hotel room with no human contact for 9 days.
Yeah.
And then got thrown right
into
the tank.
You're talking to the cheese at that point.
Oh my gosh, right? Oh my gosh. And I'm like bad enough as it is to sit still, let alone in this whole hotel room.
Yeah.
I'm walking circles.
No human contact.
Right. Yeah. Other than the doctor that came and took my COVID test a couple times a day. So that one was, you know, kind of kind of rough. But then after that, like I said, we came back and I'm like, okay, the pizza accordion. Okay, that's actually a really good idea and a really huge market.
Yeah.
That name just sucks so bad. So then we went and started working on patenting or developing it and getting the product and then eventually patenting it and coming up with a much better name of the pizza pack.
The pizza pack. So what is it? We got one here.
Yeah.
Tell folks this is, it's quite large. If you're envisioning a slice of pizza, double whatever you're
thinking.
Right,
yeah, that'll fit. It'll actually fit an entire entire large pizza in there if you want. So
what?
It's basically a pizza storage container that expands and contracts to match.
You could put an entire large pizza in here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pop that thing open.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it's just you punch on the bottom. It's similar to, like, you know, the collapsible dog bowls and things.
My kids have something like this that's a different shape, but with, like, different compartments.
Right.
Sort of like a bento box.
Right.
Yeah, for their lunches and stuff.
Right. And so the idea is.
This expands out to, like, what, 8-10 inches tall?
Yeah, it's about 7.5 inches. So, pretty good guess there. And then it actually comes with 5 divider trays, right? So, you got those slice separator trays.
Oh, yeah.
You throw those in between your slices that keep it separate when it's stored so you don't have one stick to the next. But also, they double as microwavable pizza plates. So you just, instead of getting a dish dirty, you just pull it out, throw it in the mic.
That is very cool.
I'll do you one better. You want to reheat it for the whole family? You
can
do a pizza pack with 5 pieces in the microwave. Heat
just
them all
in
up
the whole
at
thing.
Once. And the whole thing, this little air vent
pops
out when it starts getting too hot to let the steam
out. Just automatically.
Out. Yeah, it lets the steam out so you don't get soggy slices.
Yeah, you're like good at this.
Right?
You're like, tell me something I don't
know. A lot of time and effort goes into it, I'll tell you.
Remember, How long to develop this?
Oh, man, let's see.
And all you, or do you have a team?
I've got two guys I work with, two good buddies.
Yeah.
They came on board with I came up with the cheese chop myself, and I was working on it for a while, and it was just a lot of everything. And so one business partner, Matt Pichel, he went to Oregon State with me, since college. And then Charlie Campbell, just another mutual friend who went to Chicago Booth, super smart.
And you kind of try to find folks with like complementary skills and personalities,
honestly,
right?
Honestly, the work ethic is all that matters to me, because I hate when working with other people when I'm busting.
Oh,
and
everybody remembers that from school projects, and you got the guy that's just coasting on everybody else's work.
I mean, Charlie was up working on our stuff last night till like 3 o'clock in the morning. I saw emails coming through.
Yeah.
You know, he's a worker. Both of them are. And so, so it took probably about a year and a half for the pizza pack to actually get from, you know, idea to then to drawing it out on CAD, then prototyping things and whatnot, to actually getting molds and manufacturing. Yeah.
This is such, like, you know, in terms of the use of this, like, because when we order pizza, we don't do it every week, right? Like, but when we do it, we'll get, like, enough for leftovers, you know, and then what do you do with, like...
Put the whole box in the fridge?
The box takes up so much room. Nobody can do that. So we're like throwing it in like Ziploc bags or something. And it's getting all messy.
And you're throwing the bag away each time.
I feel like I'm doing an infomercial. Right? Like, there's got to be a better way.
Right? And that's a lot of it writes itself, I'll tell you what.
Have you done commercials? Have you done? You did sort of a video for the Cheese Chopper with your GoFundMe.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we've done quick little video ads and stuff for the pizza pack. But to be honest, our biggest issue has been keeping them in stock.
Yeah.
So when we launched just in April this year. And I mean, you know, same thing, because you're testing out a new idea. So you order like 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
They sold in like 2.5 days.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh man, well now we got another 30 days for manufacturing more and things and everything else. And so
that's a hard number. You don't want to overshoot. You don't want to undershoot.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
a new product.
It's all your cash in there too, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, if this goes wrong.
I don't have angel investors just standing by. Yeah.
Not
whatever
yet.
You need.
Not
now,
yet.
Right.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. And so it kind of took a while, and then you ordered 3,000. Well, shoot, those sold out like that. Okay, this isn't a fluke. And the cool thing too is we have 6 different colors.
Okay.
So you've got your
yellow. I like this one, the black one.
You like black.
Really cool.
Well, a lot of people come out like, oh, you got your green for your veggie pizza, your yellow for your cheese, your red for your meat, white for whatever.
Yeah.
You know, this one's gluten-free, so that goes in the black one. Other people aren't eating it and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
And that was just off customer feedback.
Yeah.
You know, that we started coming out with different colors.
So obviously you mentioned MicroSafe, dishwasher too.
Yep. Dishwasher safe. It's like a food grade silicone.
Yeah.
So
okay. Well, so if I'm a shark, I'm on board. But tell us about, for folks who didn't see it, you were on a couple of weeks ago.
Yes,
and it went pretty well.
Went good. Yeah, it was. it was the first ever live recorded Shark Tank.
Okay.
And so, and when
first since COVID.
First ever. Yeah, they've never done it before.
Wow.
And it was live on the East Coast and Central.
Yeah.
It was like a 2-hour delay for the West Coast, which was actually super fun. I was able to film it, get through my stuff and bomb out of there and make it back to the hotel bar and watch it live, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is awesome.
But so I went out and got a deal. It was fantastic. Yeah. So much more fun than the last
From
time.
Cuban, right?
No. Lori.
Oh, okay. Cuban
tried to buy the whole thing from me.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I said no to $1.5 million from Cuban. So that was kind of...
What?
Right? I know. He asked how much to buy the whole company.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had briefly talked about it a little bit before. Like,
were
hey,
you
what
thinking
would this...
that would be it, possible?
I mean, so we're going on the live show, right?
Yeah.
And the live show changes everything.
Yeah.
So before, like with the Cheese Chopper, I was up there for over an hour.
Yeah.
To not get a deal.
Yeah.
And they cut that down to 6 to 8 minutes of TV time.
Yeah.
This time, it was, they told me you got 12 minutes to pitch, negotiate, close, and get off stage.
Yeah, we're not editing.
Right,
anything.
There's no editing, there's no deal. It's live. You know, it's cool. They even had like the East Coast got to like vote, text in, and vote on different things.
Yeah.
But so the whole thing with this one was just time.
Yeah.
And so for me, like every single word mattered. And, you know, going into it, knowing, you know, I was very fortunate to have gone before.
Lots of pressure.
Right. Well, it's live. But the one nice part was, there was pressure on the Sharks now too.
Mm.
I felt that the live audience, which I love the live audience.
Yeah.
You didn't see it in the commercial break. I'm pumping up the audience,
getting
there doing the Tate, and the Sharks are eating it up.
That's
you know,
awesome.
So
yeah.
I loved it because I felt like the audience in the live, it took the Sharks out of their comfort zone a little bit. So before, it's the entrepreneurs always the uncomfortable, the pressure, everything else. But these Sharks, same thing. They're used to having an hour that gets cut down and edited down.
Right. And so, just takes their best bits.
To get their funny lines and things and everything else. But now they've all got to try and get everything in.
Yeah.
In the 12 minutes, right? And so, you know, that. And then all of a sudden, like, all right, hey, there's going to be a commercial break. And at some point in your deal, and so you're like, okay, man, I have to try and pay attention to that and what's going on. And, I mean, it was intense in the very fast pace. Like, I walked out of there. Like, when the commercial break came on, I'm like, holy smokes.
Yeah.
Thought I'd been up here for 45 seconds. I'm 7 minutes in.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, man.
Yeah, it feels about like 3 days.
Right. So, knowing with the live show, we figured that they were going to, they didn't have time to get super in depth on everything. And, then, you know, Cuban loves to be the man, to be that guy.
Well, that's what I want. So you got billionaire, like business icon, sports icon, reality TV personality, Mark Cuban asks you how much to buy your company. Like,
I know. And I came back and said $5 million.
Okay.
And the look on his face was priceless.
Yeah.
It's pretty entertaining. So what? But then again, Mark Cuban's looking at it as like, you know, what was your company worth right then before then?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at that number as what it's going to do in the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Right. And so he, you know, I said $5 million. He came back with 1.5. My number before going in that I would have sold it for, if I didn't have any other offers, was 3.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, you know, I didn't want to go back and negotiate with Mark because I'm like, I think he'd probably do that. And I'd much rather have this deal with Lori.
Yeah.
You know, Lori's the queen of products. When it comes to products, getting retail, getting QVC, getting the partnerships, the licensing, all that, she is the name in the game.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, without question, it was, like I said, it's kind of, you run it through your head and you don't have time to think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's making that offer and I just have to say
so
yes
or no.
So
did you have the deal from Lori on the table?
Mark came first. I'm trying to remember it, right? Because I've been so busy since it aired. I really haven't even had time to really sit down and breathe too much.
I have to go back and rewatch it to remember what you said.
Right, yeah, no, but...
Wait, what did I agree to? Let me find it on YouTube.
I'm Roz Mason, running to be your next District 26 Senator. I work for a living, too. Like you, I've seen prices rise steeply in local stores. It started with COVID, when we could understand supply chain backups. That's still 30% of inflation. But can you guess the biggest reason prices are climbing? 55 to 60% of inflation is corporate price gouging. Wall Street companies are making record profits. Take gas. One of the big oil companies made $13.2 billion more this year than last. Want the facts and figures? Check out masonfororegon.com/inflation. This is not fair. In Salem, I will fight for policies that help working people and our rural communities to prosper. Paid for by Mason for Oregon, 21968.
So Mark, I believe, said how much for the whole company. Lori made an offer. And then I said five to Mark, and he said, you know, Mev off.
Live. He did not. Yeah,
what's funny is because I tend to have a little bit foul language sometimes. Yeah. And so the producer, yeah, right. I know. But the producers are laughing before. They're like, this is 100% live. Well, almost live. We have a 10-second bleep button for Tate and Mark.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and all the other entrepreneurs are looking like they know you that well.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
Like,
yeah. They do. But but yeah, and so Lori's was kind of on the table.
Yeah.
When it went back to Mark, and that's why I was like, well, hey, Lori was the dream partner.
Yeah.
You know, I think Mark would have been awesome to be a partner with because I think he'd be a fun guy. We'd have a lot in common. But
yeah,
when it comes to a product and doing it, and the thing is, I enjoy running the business side of it. You know, inventing it and doing that's fun.
You didn't necessarily want to just sell out of
right.
it,
like I mean, for $5 million, I would have. With a smile on my face.
Right, right. But yeah, I mean, you didn't just get into this for a check. Like, you enjoy doing what you do. Yeah,
I do thoroughly enjoy it, you know, and that's the other thing, too, is, you know, I would like to do this for a career path, you know? Like, I want to take this thing through and get this product up and running and then move on to the next one and keep them rocking.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that I think the Lori connection and what that will bring in the long run is no question worth then.
Yeah.
And plus, I have three business partners. So, Mark, your $1.5 million, that's $500,000 to me. Then I pay Uncle Sam half of that. It's like $500,000. $250,000? Like, that's a lot of money, but, like, can't pay off my house.
That's not a lot of pizza, man.
Yeah, the U.S. eats 3 billion pizzas a year. Yeah. You want to give me $1.5 million? Come on.
So what was the deal? Can you tell us with Lori?
For Lori, $100,000 investment for 13% of the company.
Okay.
And so, yeah, and it looks like, hopefully, fingers crossed, everything kind of goes through with the plans. We're in the process of doing the whole due diligence.
So she basically comes on as a partner to kind of help you guys continue to grow.
Exactly. Yeah. Her and her whole team, right? And so it's like, hey, we want to be in Fred Meyer's. Well, perfect. Here's who you talk to. Here's how it happens. And however that goes. So really looking forward to it. I really want, need her to call the Domino's or Pizza Hut.
Right.
And say, hey, what does the Pizza Hut pizza pack now?
Yeah.
You know, who cares about your 2-day delivery on Amazon? We'll be in 30 minutes with your pizza.
Yeah.
So something like that would be very cool. Well, like I said, we have to go through the whole process now where she verifies all of our books, all of our accounting. Do we actually have those sales? Does it actually not? Because turns out a lot of people get up there and say whatever they have to on TV to get a deal.
Yeah.
And they go back through it afterwards and the deal falls through because they don't actually have those sales or it actually costs them more or whatever else. So fortunately, I didn't lie, so I'm pretty confident.
That was a good call.
That's one of my business partners, because they were all, the two of them were manning the battle stations, right? Yeah. Because it's just insane. Your website's crashing, things are going on, because it's just the influx of everything.
Yeah.
So as you prepare for it, and so they're all like, okay. Yeah, no, you didn't tell any lies. We're good. Yeah. We're good. Like, you know, because everything's happening so fast. I'm like, man, I got off. I don't even remember what happened up there until, a couple hours later.
Yeah.
But so hopefully, fingers crossed, everything goes as planned, and we're working with Lori.
Did they remember you? Did they, were there sort of comments about the cheese thing or callbacks?
Right, and that was the other thing about live is, I'm walking into the tank.
Yeah.
And it's already like the most nerve wracking thing imaginable, right? Like
by design.
Right. Yes. You're walking in, you've got these six, because I also the first time had all six sharks there.
Yeah.
Right. And so we have all six of them there. There's live audience going wild. Not to mention all of America on live TV.
Yes.
And so you're going into it, and I go in to do my pitch, and then before I even start, Mr. Wonderful interjects.
Yeah.
He's like, "Hey, well, what? We got some unfinished business, because me and Mr. Wonderful, we threw some shots on the last one. I mean, I actually would really like him. I think he's a great guy, and I love his persona he puts on for the TV, because I love firing shots. And so me and him went back and forth a couple times. And so when I walk in this time, and you're all focused up, you're in your zone, and you're getting ready to go. And then he goes, "Oh, Dave, we got unfinished," and it just throws a wrench right in your whole rhythm and everything else, right? And so then, but let me finish. We're on live TV now. I want to talk to you, but first I got to do a pitch. Yeah. So go through the process, and then all of a sudden I make
not so wonderful,
right? Well, in my pitch, I make a cheesy one. I do a whole bunch of cheese puns, just rattle them off. It's official. I'm officially the punniest person in Shark Tank history.
Okay.
I've used more puns. I actually hold the record, the number one and two spot for the most puns in a Shark Tank
pitch.
Which
one was the
pizza pack is now number one? Cheese shop is number. I had to outdo it. But after the last one, they told me I was the punniest, and I'm like, "Oh, just wait, just wait."
They just have me back,
right? Yeah.
What was your favorite pun?
Oh man. And I forgot one pun.
Yeah.
So I forgot one.
Oh, you
in
could
my,
have even been higher on the
I
list.
I know. And it was because I do my puns, and then the audience starts cracking up and laughing. Well, so I have to stop, and then I'm like, and I forgot the to the, you know, the top air vent keeps you safe from the dreaded soggy slice syndrome. To give you peace of mind, right? And yeah, I left the peace of mind one out, right? Yeah. But
That was just hanging there for you.
Sharks crest me. It's time to cheese the day. You know, I mean, it was just full of them.
Yeah.
We were just plumb full of them.
Nice.
Yeah, it was like my 1 minute pitch. I think, what did we have? 6 puns, 2 alliterations, and a cheese joke in 60 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, nice. we were firing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, it was good.
Yeah.
It was really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. Really happy for you guys. So, where are we kind of at now? Where are you going? Where are things going from here?
Yeah. I mean, full tilt ahead on the pizza pack.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, we've ordered as much inventory as fast as we can. Our manufacturer's cranking them out. We're actually, because Shark Tank aired, we sold out of everything we have. We've been taking back orders on our website, pizzapack.com.
Yeah.
And, you know, also on Amazon, got more inventory on the way, and then just expanding, and you know, we've got a patent, we've got our stuff and whatnot, but it's
nice.
Been a battle. The amount of knockoff people and scammers out there that, you know, go on Instagram and they advertise, oh, sell this product, da 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 da, that are just taking people's money.
Yeah.
And so it's been a constant battle. You know, people do that, they get ripped off, then they come back to us, and I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. Look
so
at the email. You
didn't
buy
scam,
it from me.
They just sort of do a similar design, or they claim to be you.
They claim to be
like
us.
We're the Shark Tank guys.
They take pictures of our product. They do the whole thing. They'll set up a little website, or they'll even set up an Amazon listing.
Yeah,
send it to
pizzapack.net.
Right, exactly. They'll get you a bunch of your information. They'll take it, and then they've actually gotten so good at it. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
They'll put my email on the customer order email thing. So the customer goes back and responds to me, and I'm like, whoa, guys, that's not even our order number.
Oh,
that's not even our address. Like, I'm sorry.
That frustrating.
Right. I wish I could help you. Don't hate me and the pizza pack because you got ripped off by these guys. And so we have been doing very well. We're getting them taken down, but that's been a constant battle as well. Which once again, you know, it said once, if you're getting knockoffs, you must be doing something right. Right.
Yeah.
If you're getting the bakers, right.
Well, but having Lori Griner and her team.
It should do things.
Probably helps with that, right? Because they've experienced that
right,
before, I'm sure.
And we've been working, you know, so far, to be honest, we haven't worked super close with them because we're just going through the due diligence process.
Yeah.
I've talked to Lori a couple times, her team a few times, and we're going back and forth. It all looks great, but it's kind of just waiting for the ink to dry on everything before we really get to see what her team has in store. And so once that happens, like I said, we're ordering as much inventory as we can and hopefully just selling and then come up with the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. So. You mentioned you'd love to sort of get in stores or get in.
Yeah.
I mean, that feels like a good fit for you guys.
Yeah, retail would be fantastic. You know, but the same thing, the retail is a whole different game.
Yeah.
So just the amount of inventory you have to send them, but you don't get paid until after they sell and it comes back to you.
Right.
You know, right now we've got 25,000 units stuck in the supply chain somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and so with just all these lead times and logistics and whatnot, going retail would be awesome, but that's going to take a big checkbook. Good thing Lori's on our team now.
Right. Speaking
but,
of which.
Right, right. But, you know, I think of one really ideal situation could be like a licensing deal, like I said, with a Pizza Hut, with a Papa Murphy's, Papa John's, something like that, and a licensing deal along those lines. You know, Damon brought out, he goes, oh, Damon made me. Which is the other funny thing, when Damon makes an offer on the show, Lori makes an offer. Lori's the queen of the products, queen of QVC, the whole program.
Yeah.
Damon makes an offer for the same amount of money for less or for more equity.
Yeah.
I'm like, Damon, why are you throwing me out a worse offer after the fact? Like, what are you doing here, man?
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's funny as I said that.
He's a little bit of a baby shark.
Right.
Yeah, baby shark move.
But here's the thing. And I said that. And then when you sit back and think, I go, well, time out. Because after he threw out his offer and Lori realized that all these other sharks were getting in, she did lower hers.
Oh, yeah.
So it did kind of help me. But I'm like, at the time, I'm sitting there, you know, same with Barbara, who tells her whole story just to tell me she's out.
Yeah.
Barbara, I got 12 minutes.
Yeah.
You quit wasting my airtime here. I want to tell these people about my sales. I want to tell them about my inventory. Yeah. I want to tell them about all these things.
Yeah.
I don't really care about your Italian boyfriend who dumped you who used to eat pizza.
Yeah.
But come on. Like, you're wasting my minutes here.
Oh, that's amazing. Can you do like an ad scene on Shark Tank for your...
We will be able in some places. Like certain places restrict it. Amazon, for example, won't let you run that on your main pictures.
Yeah.
But you can run ads that say it.
Yeah.
So we will be doing the ad scene on Shark Tank stuff and kind of going that route once we get there. Like once we catch our breath a little bit.
Yeah.
it's been
awesome.
Order, keep things cruising and
Well, you've seen so much success for this. You did sort of tease onto the next thing eventually once this gets popping really well. You've seen so much success with this. Are you going to be looking to do something similar or totally different, or do you not know yet?
Probably totally different. I've got a couple, like I said, I've got a couple other things in the works. They're kind of through the pipeline. The cheese chopper and pizza pack happen to both be in the kitchen gadget industry, you know, kind of same. Like I keep joking, I'm gonna take over a whole shelf in your fridge
right.
before I'm done. That's right.
Take over the whole fridge. Yeah,
exactly. With half the space, you'll have all the SMX.
The veggie backpack.
The salami slicer. All my products are alliteration names. That's what I said. As I said, the pizza accordion got backburned because of a horrible name.
Yeah.
Right? Right. The name means so much to it, especially in my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
the juice jug.
The juice jug. I think they came out with that one.
Okay, shoot.
But yeah,
just give me a minute.
Oh yeah, exactly. So yeah, no, we got some other things in the works. Like I said, the just trying really hard. I mean, there's so much work goes into the behind the scenes of developing a product and selling it and doing it. And that, you know, I really don't want to get stretched too thin.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a pretty awesome opportunity here, so it's kind of all focus, all heads kind of on this. Cheese Chopper's kind of on autopilot for now, if you will. And so really just going to focus on blowing this up, expanding this as much and as fast as we can. And then, like I said, once we get to the point where it's cruising, then we'll move on to the next idea.
Cheese Chopper was obviously, I remember doing the interview and the story with you and then kind of posting it. And it was a lot of like people you knew that were like, oh, I'm going to buy one. And you're like jumping on the GoFundMe. It was smaller, obviously, you know, at least at the beginning to where, you were kind of working individually with like customers. Now you've made. I mean, you're going. You're doing a big business now.
Yeah.
Did you sort of get feedback from the show and sort of people like, oh, I didn't even know that this was such, you know, that you were so successful at this point, or like, what has been the reaction to folks locally and whatnot?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, people love it. It's funny. So you come out with the first, the Cheese Chopper, and everyone's like, oh my God, this is so great. This is so amazing. But it's like, okay. Everyone I'm talking to is biased, right? Because they're friends with me, right?
Yeah.
And they're thinking, so they're obviously, it's the same thing.
They used to babysit me.
Right, exactly. I was like, oh, this is so great. And so then you come up with the pizza pack, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is great. Way better than that last idea. And I'm like, wait a second. You were my hype man like a year ago. And now you're like, oh, dude, that's because I liked you. But this one, now this one's the real deal.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's been funny. That's happened multiple times. Like, well, you know, that was a good one. But this one now, this is your idea. I'm like, okay, but is that just because this is the one I have in front of me right now?
Okay. The next one comes out. They're like, okay, I was lying the first 2 times.
Right.
This one's actually.
Well, I say that. But there is a big chunk of the Canby community that has both of them in their fridge.
Yeah,
that's it. It is one of the awesome. I mean, I've grown up. I went to 91, went to Canby High School. I've been around here forever. My brother has a sister and family as well, and the support and that the community of Canby shows is phenomenal. You know, it's like I was talking to one of the other entrepreneurs that was on this last live episode about their hometown and things, and you know, like, oh yeah, it's cool. We're getting some. I'm like, Canby? Oh man, it's like you're a celebrity in there. It's like, oh, you go interview you guys, you walk around, everyone's like, oh, this was so great. You know, they're sharing it, posting it, but doing it along, it's been fantastic, the community support. And like I said, it helps, I guess, on this one. They actually like the product a lot more.
right. Awesome. So, well, Tate, thank you so much for coming on the show today, man. It was really great to catch up with you and hear about all your success. Tell folks again where they can check out this product and just kind of follow your exploits and connect with you.
Definitely, yeah. Pizzapack.com for the pizza pack or cheesechopper.com
for
the cheese chopper.
Make sure you get the right pizza pack.
Right, exactly. Pizzapack.com ensures you get the right one. If you go on Amazon, there are all those other, and that's the other thing. Someone else came up with one, and it's like a similar looking knockoff, but they didn't use microwave safe materials.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm like,
dangerous.
Guys, we're advertising microwave safe. Someone else buys that.
That can hurt somebody.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
start a fire.
I don't know what it is. They didn't make it out of tinfoil, luckily, but it's. But yeah, so pizzapack.com, cheesechopper.com. Love the support and appreciate you having me on. It's been fun.
Awesome. Yeah, it was so slice to have you on.
Hey, there we go. That was a good one.
Thanks, Tate.
Thank you.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears? Even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, Do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yeah, heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net. Now Hear This Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.